So I appreciate your indulgence of me joining virtually today. And we do have four petitions on your agenda. All four were submitted by Mr. Dana Rogers. And as part of the South Dakota Bow Hunters Incorporated, four petitions brought forward to you, commissioners. One deals with archery elk licenses, another with non-resident archery antelope licenses, a third one related to archery deer licenses, and the fourth one, big game license fees. And I do believe it'd be most appropriate in the approach and the discussion over these would be to turn it over to Mr. Dana Rogers, who is the petitioner here for all four, give him an opportunity to provide you a little bit of background, understanding, and justification for the reasons for submission of the petitions, and then I will follow up from some department comments and recommendations, and then, Mr. Chairman, you and the members of the commission will have your discussion, deliberation, and decide whether to move forward with the petitions as proposed to you and begin the rule promulgation process or deny them and then explain and provide the justifications for doing so. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to Mr. Dana Rogers and give him an opportunity to speak to you again on the reasons and justification for bringing forward the petition.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me? I'm unmuted now. Okay, would you like me to go through all of them combined? Is that what you're asking me to do?
I've carved out about 15 minutes for you, Dina, so if you want to hit the high points of the ones that you feel need the most explanation. I think some of them are fairly straight up, easily to describe, but some of the other ones may need some attention or the thoughts of the South Dakota Bow Hunters on these as well.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the department and the commissioners for allowing this process and giving us this time. I greatly appreciate this opportunity. I am the secretary and the lobbyist for the South Dakota Bow Hunters. All of these petitions were run through our nine-member board unanimously, just like they were 2 years ago. Much of the petitions are the same as they were 2 years ago. And I have dialogued with commissioners over the years and with several staff members on this. And some of you who have been on the commission a few years may remember some of the similarities in these petitions from a couple years ago. I'm going to start with the first one that I have right here in my hand, which is the non-resident big game one tag license fee increase. Hopefully you all saw the emails, which had a much larger and more in-depth statistical analysis of the border states. The petition process really doesn't allow me to put a whole lot of information in there, so hopefully you saw that. But of the border states, South Dakota is extremely low when it comes to big game license fees. So I think that the petition to go from a $286 non-resident fee for deer and antelope to a $435 fee would put us pretty much squarely in the middle of the border states and the western states that have similar type opportunities that we do. Many of the states also require a purchase of a big game license, or excuse me, purchase of a small game license for a general hunting license prior to applying for this, as well as preference points. And that's all accounted for in those statistics, which I sent all of the commissioners. One point that I did not mention in there that I think would be brought to bear by some of the folks on the staff is that has a significant increase in Pittman-Robertson funding when you have license fees and you have the number of those license fees being increased. I believe it's a 3-to-1 number, but I'm sure Tom or some of the other staff can go into that as it wasn't part of the process. So we're basically looking to bring South Dakota into the median of western states when it comes to big game fees for antelope and deer. Our archery tags are unlimited. We have an 8% allocation for the Black Hills and West River and Refuge. Our fees are low, and we would like to see those increase in hopes that we could, you know, bring down some of the increased numbers that we see, particularly on our public lands. So I won't go too much further with that. Everything was listed in all of the emails that I sent to the commissioners. The second, probably the largest issue that we've had over the last several years is the archery deer. The archery deer non-resident pressure on public lands has significantly increased over the last decade. We have Facebook and YouTube and a lot of different hunting shows clamoring, talking about the unlimited opportunities in South Dakota, our public land, to tag over the counter, so to speak, to cheap tag. And you'll see the numbers have increased drastically every year over the last 10. On the deer side, what I really, really want to key in on is we have an 8% allocation for firearms in the Black Hills, in West River, units as well as refuge units. And if you look at the comparison that I put into this petition, you will see that it is far and above that 8%. Our residents are experiencing extreme amounts of pressure in a lot of areas. The most glaring statistic from the Game Fish and Parks that they put out from 2020 was that of all of our resident archers, so 21,366 resident archers, we shot 670 mule deer bucks, while non-residents shot 532 mule deer bucks. So that's 79% of what the residents have taken. Our mule deer are in a bad way in a lot of places. So please consider that. When we came to you with the deer petition a couple of years ago, you know, the can really got kicked down the road. There were a couple of things that the commissioners did decide to do. The first one was to keep public land resident only in the month of September. That is not what the South Dakota Bowhunters asked for. The second one, which did have a positive effect, was limiting the Custer National Forest, or 35L, to a certain amount of resident permit holders and a certain amount of non-resident permit holders. One of the issues that we see up there is that we do not have enough enforcement. But I do give the commissioners a big amount of credit for taking action on the 35L area. So please take into account this deer petition is asking for 2,000 non-resident public land permits as a cap. We're also asking to make a new unit for the private lands so that those individuals that have permission or they have contacts or they're paying a guide, an outfitter, they're still going to be able to get that permit. But our public lands are really seeing an extreme amount of increase in pressure. So please take a hard look at that. I'm going to move on to the archery antelope. We've asked for this in the past as well. And again, we have an 8% quota on archery antelope, or on firearms antelope, excuse me. And if you'll look at those numbers, we're asking for 150 as a cap. That is, again, above the 8% quota, but most of these archery antelope are taking place on public lands in the northwest part of the state. There's an extreme amount of pressure, and the resident opportunities and experiences have really been suffering over the years with the increased amount of social media, guiding and outfitting, you know, taking away some opportunities and lands in certain areas. So please take a look at those archery tag allocations. The last one that we have that I want to speak on is the elk tag for the resident archery permit holders. South Dakota Bowhunters is asking for a 10% increase in the archery permits based upon the number of first-choice applications that you will see over the last 10 years. Most of that data is inside the email petitions that I've sent to each commissioner. But if you will look at the 10-year average of archery tag allocations, the total number of first-choice elk permits is 15%, while the total archery first-choice applications count for 28% of first-choice elk applicants. The rifle permit applicants from 2011 to 2020 has remained relatively similar. It's, you know, it started from like 11,000, now we're above 13,000. But if you look at the percentage in the summary of archery elk, it is extremely a much higher percentage, all right? It went from 182 permits that we were basically allotted, and we're just simply asking for like a 10% increase in that. Our archery hunters, they hunt and they put time in the field on an average of about 11 and a half days, while firearms hunters only hunt about 5.7 days over that 10-year average. The number of people applying for these archery permits has increased dramatically. The success rates for archery hunters is much lower than firearms hunters. I know in conversations with some of the biologists, they were a bit concerned with if we have to increase archery permits, well, we would have to decrease rifle permits. You know, I guess I don't quite understand that reasoning, because the 10% increase we're asking for is only about 20 tags. And if we go at the same harvest statistics that we did last year, that's 9 elk. So we're not asking, we're not at odds with firearms management or firearms hunters. We're just simply asking that with the number of people applying for a first opportunity to hunt archery elk, that we would get a little bit more opportunity in the terms of getting tags at the end. And with that, I would certainly answer any questions or that any of the commissioners would have, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Dana. That's a good explanation, and I think a lot of it will probably stir up some questions from the commission. So at this time, I think I will allow anybody to ask questions of Dana that they may have. And while we've still got you here, Dana, and you're coming through loud and clear, so appreciate you hanging with us for a little bit here while we do some Q&A. Commissioner Sharp.
Thank you, Commissioner Sharp. Good presentation, Dana. If you could, I don't recall an email you sent out with all the information, if you showed all the states and all the comparisons on the license fees you're referencing, if you could resend that or send the data that you're using on that, because based on my research, I'm not seeing the same thing you are, so I'd like to kind of see what, you know, how you come up with some of the numbers. So that'd be helpful for me. Thank you.
Absolutely, Commissioner Sharp. I will do that again.
Additional question. Dana, when you, I got a question for you here. On the 10% increase for archery elk, you know, we look at that, and you're right, it probably is only 20 tags, and maybe with the success rate, that's only 9 elk. But, I mean, I think that there's so much that goes into, you know, the population census data that we do for, you know, where we want to increase elk numbers or decrease elk numbers. What you're asking for is just across the board. Doesn't matter which unit they apply for. It's just a 10% increase to all zones and regions, regardless of what our elk management plan is for that zone.
Yes, sir. That is exactly what the South Dakota Bowhunters is asking for. Is, you know, a lot of these units, it's going to be one tag. It might not even be a tag. And then, you know, in H2, it'll be a few tags. So however you guys decide to do that, you're the decision makers. We're just pointing out some serious disparity in the statistics, and we would like to see a little bit more opportunity based on the number of people now going to the archery draw to try to get that elk tag.
Yeah, as we all know, that I mean, these are only open to residents anyway, so there's no competition for non-residents in that arena. But, you know, is that 10%, is it going to be noticeable? I mean, what do you think that, in your research, and you've looked at this longer than me, but what does it do for your percentage of drawing a tag versus, you know, somebody that's got 19 years, does that give them a 20% increase, or is it, help me with that a little bit, please.
Well, that I can't answer, because the number of tags we're actually asking for is so small, it's not going to have a huge increase in draw statistics. No, I don't believe it will, because there's so many thousands of people that are looking now to get an archery elk tag, and we have our number of available permits is so much less than the firearms. It's infinitesimally small as far as draw statistics when it comes to elk.
Okay. That's what I assumed. I just didn't know if this was, you know, if it's more of a placebo almost, because it doesn't seem like it's that big of a number. I got to wait and hear what Tom has to say here, because I just don't see where it's going to, you know, really satisfy your membership. They're all going to high-five each other that they've now got this huge increase in an opportunity.
Well, it's not a huge increase, and we're not asking for a huge increase. We're simply asking for a small bump based upon the number of increase in applicants versus the number of tags that are available. Because if you look at the firearm tags in each unit and the archery tags in each unit, the number of percentage does not correlate with the applicants.
Thanks. Any other questions for Dana right now? Hang tight with us, Dana. We might come back to you here. Tom, I'm going to put this back on you. If you wouldn't mind kind of walking us through, and if you can, in the same order that Dana listed out this, you know, starting the salary or the license fee increases all the way through, you know, the archery envelope and then the elk tags, if you can walk us through that, your thoughts, and then we can wrap up with staff recommendations if you've already compiled those.
Sure, Mr. Chairman, and I guess what I was going to do is give you a brief summary or an overall perspective from the department on all four of them collectively. There is some connection and tie amongst some of them, and then I will certainly try to answer some specifics on a couple of the key petitions. But if I may, I think the first thing I'd like to point out is that the topics that are found in all four petitions are certainly important topics and worthy of discussion. We know that some of these pieces, as Dana and I had a conversation just a couple of days ago, myself and him, some of these topics have been discussed for a couple of years, and they've been some ongoing discussions. So they're certainly important to some of our users out there, and as we've discussed over the years, not very easy ones to come up with, if I may, the silver bullet as to what's the exact or right approach in addressing all of them. But we certainly understand that they are worth discussion. A couple of the key points that I would share with you, Mr. Chairman, the other commissioners, is that one of the biggest challenges that we see right now is just simply the timing of the petitions and the changes being asked based on where we are today. Should you as a commission decide to move forward with these petitions and go through the rule process and make some of these changes, regardless what change or changes that would be, they would not be implemented until the fall of 2022. And the primary reasons for that is when we look at where we are today, we've already taken and done drawings on the elk season. So the recommendation for increasing archery licenses would not go into effect this year. We've already done some of the drawings, obviously, in issuing licenses of non-resident archery deer for hunting, as we had the April 1 deadline. For those non-resident hunters choosing to hunt on public land. We are ready to put out the applications for archery antelope and start receiving applications for those folks. And the concept of doing some fee changes or adjustments right now, again, midstream through receiving applications and issuing licenses, would draw some concern to us from the standpoint, obviously, again, it would not go into effect this year, it would be next year. But when those types of conversations happen, midstream taking applications and having conversations with our users out there, one of the things that we would bring to your attention would be is the last thing we want to do is create more confusion and misunderstanding about applications and associated fees. Having potentially further conversations on these specific items while folks are filling out applications or have already submitted an application. Maybe one of the most important items that we've all been talking about as we came into the 2021 hunting season, in particular looking to this fall, is this is the third year of our current drawing structure and primarily for deer. And we are committed to doing a full analysis and bring that analysis and review in front of the commission. We obviously are going to be putting out that review for public comment, as there will likely be points of that drawing system that we're going to look at if they need further adjustments. And so some of these items are directly related to that particular issue as well, and we know that we will be doing that, as our staff has already started pulling some information as we're conducting drawings and moving forward in this third year of it. There were a couple of specific items that Mr. Rogers brought up in respect to PR dollars and additional licenses being sold. Certainly, if there was the requirement of a small game license being a prerequisite, that could potentially be more small game licenses that would be purchased. When the Fish and Wildlife Service does the allocation of PR funds, it's based on a very complex formula, but the main thing of that is the number of licenses sold. So one could also look at this, if a small game license was a prerequisite, and we also have the habitat stamp requirement that was put in place a year ago, if that were to lead to reduced numbers of licenses being purchased by non-residents, that could actually lead to a decrease in PR funds. So those are those things that we have to consider and look at very closely. So it could result in some loss in PR funds as well. In respect to the archery elk petition and what Mr. Rogers is trying to do, and believe, and Dana, correct me if I'm wrong, is really focusing on the additional licenses based on the number of applications coming in for both archery elk and firearm elk. One of the key things that I do want to point out to the commission again, if you were to look at the elk management plan, we actually have a strategy in there on how elk licenses are divvied out between the firearm season and the archery season. And when our biologists and our managers are looking at where we are with the population, what direction we want to go, maintain, increase, decrease, and how does that look in respect to our hunter success, both on firearms and archery. At the end of the day, when they look at all those pieces of information, both biological and harvest information, what our strategy is to allocate licenses that about a 25% of the licenses would go to archery for any elk licenses, and then 10% for antlerless licenses to archery hunting season, the remainder going to the firearm season. So our specific approach right now is not based on the applications. It's more based on providing and maximizing that opportunity out there. Now, certainly those things are always open for discussion, and our staff is currently working on revising the elk management plan and putting together that elk action plan that will be coming in forward in front of you very soon here as well. I would share this year, looking at the total licenses that we issue for elk between firearms and archery, when we look at the cow tags in particular, we went above the 10% level, and the any elk are right at about 25%. So that was a key item that we had a lot of discussion with the stakeholder group in trying to provide more archery elk opportunities for the elk hunting seasons in the Black Hills when our original elk management plan was put together. But again, those are always open for further discussions and looking at it. So there's multiple ways that we can look at that particular approach. So, Mr. Chairman, I guess to summarize and wrap all this up, these are good topics, and they deserve further discussion, but we believe that timing is not the right time. We absolutely need to have the discussions on the deer drawing structure, and that could also result in looking at the structures for antelope and elk as well. As I mentioned, we're going to be bringing forward to you a draft revision of the elk management plan and an action plan where these items, in particular the archery elk, could be further reviewed and discussed there. We certainly don't want to cause confusion amongst our users out there. We are more than happy to have more discussions on these, but we believe that a more prudent and pertinent time would be this coming fall and into the winter as we go through those review and other analysis before diving into this a little bit more. As these are big topics, they would be big changes, and they certainly deserve the amount of due diligence and time to further review and get some additional input out there. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back to you and the other commissioners. I will try to answer any of the questions you may have, and then we can go from there. Maybe one other thing that I would offer up to you, I know you're approaching the open forum period. I don't know if you, and again, it's up to you if you'd like to wait to make final action or decisions on these if there was somebody else that wanted to comment, but I will leave that up to you and the discretion of the commissioners. But turn it back to you, and I will try to answer any questions that you may have.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And, that is